Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy world. So welcome to the 518th of the edition of SDG. And it's 2021, Crisis Update number 31. And then later in this message, folks, we're going to tie it all into what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. And that's concerning the end of the world as we know it. So, folks, the end is near. And as St. John warns us in this passage and what follows, the enemy of Christ would come. And now many enemies of Christ have already appeared. So we know that the end is near. Folks, I hope you stay tuned to learn how we will soon be forced to either take a name or a number. And the truth is that choice is ours. So folks, which will you choose in these end times? Will your name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Or will you just be another number? A number in the COVID passport database? Which will either be digitally tattooed onto your hand or forehead that you'll need to even buy or sell. Folks, I'm telling you, the bottom line is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, we're just passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And folks, be sure to stay tuned to find out the latest news, the forbidden news that the mainstream media, the fake news, the lying news will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which, folks, I'm telling you, they're unfolding in slow motion. But, folks, they're on steroids. And it's not slow motion anymore. But remember, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, before we dive into the freaky-deaky news update, let's look at something from a past episode. And this week, folks, what I'd like to do is review a few things that we covered in Catherine Austin Fitz's interview on the High Wire. And it's all going to tie into what we're doing this week about authoritarianism and oppression. So let's look at what she had to say as she was on with Del Bigtree. And I want to focus specifically on the central bank digital currency. It's known in an acronym, CBDC. So when you hear that, that's what she's talking about. And then she's going to play a clip on the High Wire with Del Bigtree of the general manager for the Bank of International Settlements. And I just forgot his name. But, folks, listen to what he has to say concerning this whole digital reset. And it has a more specific name. I wrote it down here. I wanted to share that with you. And I just misplaced my notes. So I don't have it in front of me. It's called the Going Direct Reset. That's what it is. But what I'd like to focus on right now is the clip where she talked about the CBDC. She mentioned Naomi Wolf, and we're going to get into that. And then this whole vax passport garbage and what this is all about. This is a 5.5-minute clip from the Del Bigtree interview from 2 weeks ago. But please, folks, just listen to this. It's dynamite.
Here's what you need to understand. The Western democracies in the United States have been run with a two-pronged financial system. On one side, you have a private banks with the central bank, the Federal Reserve, who are managing monetary policy. On the other side of the house, you have an electorate voting for representatives who manage the tax flow and the credits that relate to that, so the treasury market. So you have this balance of power between the people and the bankers. And now what is happening under the guise of COVID-19 is the bankers have decided they no longer want to share power with the electorate or the people's representatives, and whether through FASB 56 or levering the governments up so they're deeply in debt and dependent on the central banks, the central banks have decided essentially to take over. And the ultimate sort of completion of this will be when they introduce digital currencies controlled and operated by the central bank. Why is that important? Because they won't be currencies, Dell. They will be a financial control system. To implement that system, they need the vaccine passports. And the goal of the vaccine passports have nothing to do with health. They have to do with implementing a new digital financial transaction system, which is, in essence, complete control. So I call it a slavery system. Dr. Naomi Wolf said, vaccine passports are the end of human liberty in the West, and she's absolutely right.
So when you say digital currencies, you know, at many of these events I've been speaking at, many of my friends are, you know, big on Bitcoin or Ethereum, saying this is our way forward. This is how we set ourselves free. This is how we break free of those power mongers running the world. And it sounds like you're saying, no, that's exactly how they finished the debt flow.
This is not what the central bankers are planning. And I sent your staff a 56-second of the video of the Bank of International Settlements general manager, Karstens, explaining exactly what it meant.
Okay, we've got
it.
Yeah, let's play it. Let's see what they said. Okay.
Our analysis on CBDC, in particular for the use of general use, we tend to establish the equivalence with cash. And there is a huge difference there. For example, in cash, we don't know, for example, who is using a $100 bill today. We don't know who is using a 1,000 peso bill today. A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that. Those two issues are extremely important, and that makes a huge difference with respect to what cash is.
All right, so I hear what sounds like controlling finances, but give me
the lowdown. So this is what this means. You will no longer have a currency. You will have a credit at the company store. If they don't want you traveling more than 5 miles from your home, your credit card, your bank account won't work more than 5 miles from your home. If they don't want you, let's say they decided you shouldn't be able to buy pizza, you can't buy pizza. You're talking about complete control, you know, at a very intimate level of both surveillance, because remember, there's no privacy. They'll be able to track every transaction you make. So we're talking about a credit at the company store and literally a slavery system.
And you think, you know, based on, so Bitcoin, so then what is Bitcoin? Is that, or, you know, and the other cryptocurrencies that we talk about, are you saying central banks are going to take on cryptocurrencies themselves, or are they going to take over Bitcoin, or exactly what are we going to see?
So central banks, right. So central banks would issue their own central bank digital currency.
Okay.
And the question is, would the regulators increasingly regulate cryptocurrencies, which I think the answer is yes. Will they allow them to coexist? Maybe. But if you look at the way the system will be implemented, you'll find that the vast majority of retail transactions will end up being in the CBDC system. So this is the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies have been very useful to help the central bankers prototype how they might want to run their systems. So they've been very useful as a prototype. Whether they're allowed to continue or exist, big question mark. I think at the end of the day, the central banks are basically planning on being the dominant player in the market.
So
it's
a control system.
This is a re-engineering. So here's the question, Dell. If I'm the central banks and I'm basically going to destroy the sovereignty of governments and the power of the electorate to affect the budget, the question comes down to how am I going to collect taxes if the electorate has no power and doesn't feel like they're sharing in the financial system. And the way you do that is with a CBDC system, you can just take the money out of the account. This is taxation without representation.
Wow.
And that's what it is, folks. You know, did you hear her in there? Catherine Austin Fitz, a former insider in the Bush administration, I believe it was, called this going direct reset a slavery system. Now, here's a woman on the right in terms of politics, okay? Conservative, Bush administration. So maybe you say, well, this is just partisan politics, and they're not happy with where this is moving, okay? Yet, we're going to share something with you from the other side of the political spectrum, a grave warning coming from a former Clinton administration official, Naomi Wolf, who is about as left as you can go, on Fox News, which I don't know what they are anymore, but this next clip is a few months old. I think it was out back in April or May. But I think Naomi Wolf does a very good job explaining to the people, we the people, where we're at. But before we move on, one other thing. Catherine Austin Fitz referred to this new going direct reset, the Great Reset, which has all been initiated through this scamdemic as a slavery system. Yet don't we have Black Lives Matter? Don't we have all these protests about equality and reparations? You see how they play this? As they actually put the chains around our ankles and wrists, they're telling us how they want freedom. What a lie. Now, I've warned you folks for weeks, months, years, that these movers and shakers are guided by Luciferians and their plan for the New World Order to usher in the Antichrist, none other than Satan incarnate himself. He'll be in his man, and it's going to get ugly. And I'm telling you, even people on the far left, like Naomi Wolf, she's waking up. So let's listen to this clip. She's on the Steve Hilton show, and she's warning about this Orwellian, draconian coronavirus passport and the danger it poses to America. This is a five-minute clip. It's information-packed, so you may even want to take a few notes, and you may want to read her book, but here we go.
First, it was endless war. Now they want endless war on COVID. You think they're just going to let you get back to normal life and live it all in freedom after this? Not a chance. They love the power. They love the control. They love being the center of attention. They're not giving this up. Now they want vaccine passports to control who can go where, when. In England, they're talking about a government vaccine certificate to go to the pub. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo is handing out contracts to IBM for a Big Brother health passport system. In New Jersey, Rutgers University won't let students into classes without a vaccine certificate. And now, a bunch of power-crazed doctors just argued in the Wall Street Journal that we need a digital rapid detection system, integrating information from all sources, including routine reports to health authorities, from medical providers, data from contact tracing databases, digital surveillance apps. Just today, the Biden administration said they're working towards developing a new nationwide vaccine passport standard. On and on it goes. A nightmare, Orwellian infrastructure of control, an unprecedented, undemocratic power grab by big business, big government, big bureaucracy. No, no, no. Here to react, author of The End of America, a letter of warning to a young patriot, Dr. Naomi Wolf. So excited that you could join us tonight. I'm just going to hand it over to you. What do you make of what we're about to see?
I mean, thank you, Steve. I'm really happy to be here. I am not overstating this. I can't say it forcefully enough. This is literally the end of human liberty in the West if this plan unfolds as planned. Vaccine passport sounds like a fine thing if you don't understand what those platforms can do. I'm CEO of a tech company. I understand what this platform does. It's not about the vaccine. It's not about the virus. It's about your data. And once this rolls out, you don't have a choice about being part of the system. What people have to understand is that any other functionality can be loaded onto that platform with no problem at all. And what that means is it can be merged with your PayPal account, with your digital currency. Microsoft is already talking about merging it with payment plans. Your networks can be sucked up. It geolocates you everywhere you go. Your credit history can be included. All of your medical history can be included. This has already happened in Israel.
Yeah.
And 6 months later, we're hearing from activists that it's a two-tier society and that basically activists are ostracized and surveilled continually. It's the end of civil society, and they're trying to roll it out around the world. And it is absolutely so much more than a vaccine pass. It is, I cannot stress enough that it has the power to turn off your life or to turn on your life, to let you engage in society or be marginalized. And by the way, the last thing I'll say, IBM has a horrible history with Nazi Germany. Its subsidiary created a kind of precursor of this with punch cards that allowed the Nazis to keep lists of, again, a two-tiered society, Aryan and Jew, in such a way that they could round up Jews, round up dissidents, round up opposition leaders very, very quickly. It's catastrophic. It cannot be allowed to continue.
Wow, that was so powerful, such great information, and so important for us to understand it. You really made me see it in its proper context. And the other thing it reminds me of course, is the Chinese regime today and the social credit system that they're using for exactly the kind of purposes that you're describing. Let's talk about how to fight this. I mean, we're completely in agreement about how appalling this is. What do you think we can do?
Well, you're exactly right, Steve, to mention China. I mean, how do you keep a billion people under the thumb of a totalitarian regime? The CCP can find any dissident within 5 minutes, and that can happen here literally within months. How do we fight it? Well, that's a longer conversation, but I've launched on my own platform a kind of freedom movement for left and right to come together to run people for state senate, to run people against tyrannical governors like Gavin Newsom, my own governor Cuomo, who's rolling out this tyrannical pass, you know, under emergency powers, and to really unite to take back our Constitution. But we have to bring lawsuits, and there have to be investigations. I mean, this violates the Americans with Disabilities Act. It violates HIPAA. It violates the First Amendment. It violates the Fourth Amendment. And we have to call up an army of lawyers and fund them to, you know, bring every lawsuit, but also just refuse to comply.
This is brilliant. I'm so excited to hear you speak. Okay, this will be a longer conversation. I would love to have you back, and let's get really into it, because this is serious. This is coming down, just as we reported just today, the Biden administration is moving forward with this, so we've got to fight it. Dr. Naomi Wolf, thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
So there you have it, Catherine Austin Fitz on the right and Dr. Naomi Wolf on the left, and they're both warning the American public this COVID passport is seriously flawed in the perspective of justice and liberty and freedom for all. Folks, we need to stand up and say no. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, I can't vote. Yeah, that's probably true. I think it's fairly clear that our election system has been corrupt. And don't even get me started on this audit in election 2020. But you know, one thing we can still all vote with people, and that's our money. Where we spend it, how we allocate it, where we invest it. Don't invest it in these big companies that are building the prison system. Support your local businesses. Get off of Netflix. Get off of Amazon. Yeah, I know it's not as convenient, but go to your local store and pick that item up. And I'll tell you what, folks, we can make a difference. I'm going to move on, but I have another just shy of 3 minute clip from the High Wire interview with Catherine Austin Fitz. She goes a little deeper in the going direct and the smart grid and this vaccine passport. I'd like to play that. Just listen to this.
Evidenced by what is happening now, which is called the going direct reset, which is a plan voted on by the central bankers in August 2019, and the takedown of the economy, including the pandemic, rolled out as a result of the going direct reset.
Wow.
If you look at that group, they have decided to radically centralize control into a much smaller group of people, and that's one of the reasons why what you're watching is a destruction of the small business economy in a way, and a printing of money by the central bank. So basically the private equity firms can engage in a shopping spree to pick it all up cheap, which is why during the videos you were showing, the you know, the billionaires are getting richer and richer and rich. What you're watching is what George H.W. Bush used to call consolidating the wealth into tighter and righter hands. So this is a plan. It is being engineered. I'm not saying it's 100, you know, they kind of make it up as they go. But if you look at who's responsible at the very top of the global financial system, they are in the room. If you look at the list of participants for the vote for the going direct and the people who put the plan together working for BlackRock, you can see a lot of those players. Now, you know, if you look at the whole going direct, to get the control, the financial control system into place with the passports, you need the pharmaceutical industry, you need the tech industry, you need the telecommunications industry. It's all part of putting together the smart grid, because the smart grid is the hardware and the infrastructure for this financial control grid. So it's a lot of people, and there is no doubt that the U.S. government and the central banks have been absolutely instrumental in creating massive incentives to get everybody to play. That's the magic secret here, Dell, and it's something you hear a lot sort of embedded in your interviews and presentations at the High Wire. We're building the prison. You know, in a highly centralized system, Mr. Global is not a lot of people, and yet if you look at who's building the train tracks for the control grid, it's all of us,
right?
Which means, you know, we have the power to stop banking with them. We have the power to stop associating with them. We can snub them on the street. We don't have to buy their stocks. We don't have to go work in the companies. You know, you can make a list of the 20 companies who are the most instrumental in making this all go. We don't have to support them.
And when
if
you
5 to 10%
yeah.
of the people just walked out tomorrow, and we have to do it before the vaccine passports go into effect, because once you get CBDCs and vaccine passports, essentially you've got at a very central level, as Mr. Carson's implied, you've got complete control.
So there you go, folks. Vote with your money. Decide where you're going to spend it, who you're going to support, and do it. And don't use cards. Use cash. Because the more people that are out there using cash, the tougher it's going to be for them to implement the central bank digital currency, which is essential to this COVID passport. And then you have to pull it with all of the smart grid that's out there, the 5G, which, oh, by the way, doesn't cause the same symptoms, radiation poisoning. Doesn't that cause the same symptoms of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which manifests as COVID-19? Wow. Now, last week, we also heard from Pastor Russ Dizdar. He warned us about the Satanists and what the Luciferians are calling the Black Awakening. Now, if you haven't read his book, I strongly suggest you read it. It's by the same name, The Black Awakening, and then it's subtitled Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers and the Coming Chaos. Folks, he's legit. We had Pastor Dizdar on an episode of the Old Tribulation Now show, probably about 8 years ago, but unfortunately, John Seitzinger deleted the entire archive like there wasn't any other work in there. But folks, I'm over that. I put tremendous amount of time in preparing clips for that show. Sister Kathy pulled together all those excellent guests, and he took it upon himself to delete that entire archive. But God's going to deal with him, not me. Anyways, let's get back to this message. So this is a powerful book by Pastor Dizdar on the topic of spiritual warfare, and I'm urging you, get it and read it, because it's what's happening right now. And people are starting to see this. For example, we have a clip here queued up now from Fox News, Tucker Carlson. Jason Whitlock is on there. And you're not going to believe what Jason's. He basically says the left is satanic. Now, I don't agree with that entirely. There's some very good people on the left. I think they're starting to wake up. Look at what Naomi Wolf just said. Countless others like her. So it's not a left-right thing, folks. It's a good, bad, right, wrong thing. And the deep state, the establishment, that's in there right now, they're the bad ones. Not your lefty neighbor who thinks it's good to hug a tree and all that. No, no, that's not the problem here, folks. It's a lot deeper. So listen to what Jason Whitlock had to say on Tucker Carlson.
What do you think, I've always wondered this, like what is the actual support for the ideas? Not, you know, do you like Trump or Biden, but for example, do you think men can get pregnant or do you think some races are morally superior to other races? Like the core idea is the Democratic Party. How many Americans actually believe that stuff, would you guess?
I don't think 5% of America believes it, maybe 10%. Yeah. I don't know. Tucker, I'm going to say something that's difficult to unpack in this short amount of time, but it's what I truly believe. I think a lot of what the left supports is satanic. I'm just sorry. It's in direct objection to God and in direct objection to the Judeo-Christian values that were at the foundation of this country, and those Christian values are why we made so much progress in terms of freedom and humanity and the way we treat everybody. Yes, it was hard, but our Christian values compelled us to sacrifice our lives for the freedoms of other Americans, of slaves, and through the civil rights movement. Our Christian values compelled us to take risks and fight for equality and the equality of opportunity for everybody. I see a lot of what's going on here is, I'm just sorry, I'm a man of faith. I was raised in the church. This stuff is satanic. That's what's at the foundation of a lot of this stuff.
Well, I'm a pretty mild Protestant personally, but I completely agree with you, especially the gender stuff. When you say you can change your own gender by wishing it, you're saying you're God. And that is satanic. I completely agree. You know. Anyway, Jason Whitlock, hey,
Tucker,
one of the few people who will say something like that on TV, and I appreciate it.
Thank you,
so,
Tucker.
By the way, folks, if you don't know who Jason Whitlock is, he's a sports journalist and a culture critic. I think he's on Blaze now. I'm not sure. He may have been a columnist before that, but I don't have all of his details. But he's a public personality. And here's this guy basically saying the left supports a satanic agenda. And I'm sorry, it's a direct objection to God. Those are his words, not mine. So people are starting to see this. And I hope you stay tuned till the end of the show and you're going to learn more about how we have to deal with this enemy of Christ and our enemy, Satan. And just remember, folks, he's devilish. He is the devil. He's divisive. He's deceptive and very destructive. You know, Jesus said on chapter 10, verse 10, that Satan only comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus came so we could have life and have it to the full. But I'm going to get into more of that at the end of the show. So right now, folks, it's time to get started with what we call, and that's because of Sister Kathy's great contributions, Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, folks, we're going to start with the coronavirus heist. It is a plandemic, folks, a scamdemic. Hey, a lot of times when I have these clips on, what I'm trying to do are some sound checks, so I apologize if you hear the levels go up and down, but it's me and me alone here, folks, and I have to run the soundboard, I have to cue up these clips, I have to try to keep this thing moving in a smooth fashion. The one thing that frustrates me with a lot of the podcasts and you know, people that are doing a lot in the truth movement, is there's so much downtime on these shows. I try to keep them moving. I try to keep the information flowing. And I'm not saying I'm very good at it. I'm just saying that's what I'm trying to do. So anyways, for our first news update under the Scamdemic. We have a piece that's been circulating from the Obama administration right at the end, back in 2016, right before he leaves office. This letter was issued, okay? And I share it with you because this is too strange to be true, folks. It's calling for pre-tested vaccine candidates, and get this, and I quote, for the involvement of the intelligence community in, quote, biological threats. But hold on, there's more here, folks. Just days before this letter was issued, back in 2016, by Obama's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, Obama orders the FBI to implement global health security agenda. I can't make this stuff up, folks. So back in 2010, the Rockefeller paper comes out in terms of using a global pandemic to advance their agenda. Then August 2019, the movers and shakers, the bankers, vote at Davos to have the going direct reset. Then in November 2019, we have Event 201. In the spring of 2020, Scamdemic. In the fall, we have the stolen election. And you see the trend here, folks? So Obama laid some of the building blocks for this, too, in 2016 with this global health security agenda for the FBI, with his Council of Advisors on Science and Technology issuing this letter, which was published by their leader, John Holdren. It was dated November 15th, 2016, and it called for multiple recommendations for defending America against biological attacks, naturally occurring outbreaks of infectious disease, including, are you ready for this, folks? Epidemics and pandemics. Can you believe this? I can't make this stuff up, folks. I really can't. Folks, is this bothering anybody else out there? Anybody?
What? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
There's the coffee over there, Paul. Get it. You're right, Paul. It's a tangle web they've woven. So email me at kdbeer1961 if you'd like a copy of that. That's on Gmail, folks. And then, folks, who hasn't heard happened last week? Who hasn't heard all over the news? Are you ready for this? So, the FDA approves fake vaccine poison. You don't have to take it. And the shoot clip from this sounds like a Jamaican guy. I'm not sure who he is. I'll tell you one thing, folks. It's very entertaining listening to this guy. So what he does is he sits there at his computer console, and he has Castomatic or one of those programs on, and he brings up news clips, and he just comments during the news clip. Sometimes he pauses, sometimes he replays. There's profanity. He uses some F-bombs. So if you have little ones around, cover their ears. But I find some humor in this, but also an incredible amount of truth. So I'd just like to hear his perspective on this false vaccine agenda. Here it is, about 3 minutes.
Hey, bam on again. Now today we go discuss the so-called FDA approval, fully approval of the so-called Pfizer vaccine. You know what that means for the people? It's going to be mandatory, and I told you it was coming. Yeah, here we go right here. The approval of the so-called Pfizer vaccine. Let's get into this right here and break it down. And we also go get into the so-called booster shot. Make it run.
And good morning, everyone. I'm Kira Phillips in for Diane Macedo. Thanks so much for streaming with us. We begin with breaking news. The FDA has now granted full approval of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine.
And if you're dumb, that's the reason why you trust the FDA. What you don't understand, these are the same people pass everything that get recalled. You never understand. It's the same government people that run this earth. The same people want you to get this vaccine right here. So, of course, they will approve it. What do you think?
Making it the first first COVID vaccine to transition from emergency authorization status to full FDA approval for Moderna.
What's the fucking difference? It mean that it's now good for you to take? You better wake your ass up. What does it mean, people? I'm going to show you some things.
On the FDA's approval of the Pfizer vaccine, I'd like to bring in physician at Stanford Children's Hospital Health with Dr. Alok Patel. Dr. Patel.
And one thing that you need to understand, every news coverage, every time they're going to talk about the virus, what you see them do, you catch it yet? Always bring in a so-called doctor, physician, somebody that so-called know more than you to tell you about this so-called virus and the vaccine. Make it run.
Talk about, first of all, what does this FDA approval actually mean for all of us?
You
want to
smile in your purple tie?
Well, good morning, Kara. What this basically means is that with 6 months of safety data, now remember, emergency authorization only requires a couple months, that the vaccine is still safe, still effective, and now it just opens the door for more universities, businesses, corporations,
you
even local and state governments to mandate the vaccine.
You hear that, people? What did I don't tell you? You hear what he said? Everywhere now, university, everything, business, company, everything now can make the vaccine mandatory. That's it, people. Now that the vaccine passed, so-called by the FDA, now it can be mandatory, 100% in.
And what I hopefully what this means is that people out there who wanted to wait and see, who wanted to see more safety data, got exactly what they wanted this morning.
Yes, most of the people with the brain, they don't want to see no safety data because guess who they go see it from? The same fucking people selling them this shit right here. So what do you think? Who you think you're going to get the so-called safety data from that going to approve it in your mind like, yes, it's safe? Who going to give it to you? Where you going to get it from? Is it going to be from the same fucking people trying to serve you up this shit? Of course.
And there's some other shenanigans in there. Not only these things he's so clearly articulated in his unique manner, but, you know, this whole approval, it wasn't for the vaccine or the jab or this experimental gene manipulation that's being foisted upon hundreds of millions of people, if not billions. This proved, folks, it was the German partner of Pfizer marketing the Comirnaty version, which is legally distinct, has a few different items, which they don't list, but functionally equivalent. That's essentially what it says in the FDA authorization letter. But you can continue to use the conventional Pfizer vaccine that you've injected over 100 million Americans with under the emergency use authorization. But you don't hear all these details on the lying news. You don't hear it. So how's this even possible? When the FDA approval letter from last year allowing the emergency use authorization had several key dates in the future to complete these studies to get full approval. The FDA stated that a year after rigorous testing, they would do their approval. Well, that would be completed in 2023, and that means that the approval would be in 2024. Yet it was approved this past week. And then the FDA's Pfizer vaccine, in its approval letter, contains dates when studies were to be completed, yet they're in the future. And the most important issue is going to be in everybody's mind, because Pfizer just had to report back to the FDA, who they own. You know, Pfizer has the FDA in their back pocket. I'm going to share that with you next. But all Pfizer has to do is lie. They're already twisting the truth here, since it wasn't really the COVID vaccine used by Pfizer here in the United States that was approved. It was their German counterpart. And by the way, they don't have enough of those available right now for distribution. So you can keep using the one that was made in the United States. And we're just going to turn a blind eye to all these issues. So why did the timetable change? You know, why were these dates suddenly no longer important? Why was this vaccine approved with all these shenanigans? Well, here's how it happens. All you have to do is follow the commissioners. There's this guy, former commissioner of the FDA, who resigns and goes to Pfizer. And now, golly, he sits on the board of directors, and his name is Scott Gottlieb. And then there's another guy who replaces Gottlieb as the FDA commissioner, and his name is Stephen Hahn. Now, he eventually resigns, and he becomes the chief medical officer at Moderna. And then let's not forget about Janet Woodcock. Okay, she wrongly advises a man named Rick Bright. And by the way, he's bought and sold, totally controlled. Janet Woodcock tells Rick Bright that hydroxychloroquine is ineffective. But not only is it ineffective, it's downright dangerous. Now, why would she do that? Well, because the only way that the FDA could issue an emergency use authorization on these jabs is if there was no other method of treatment. Well, not only was there hydroxychloroquine, but there was that resveratrol, there's ivermectin. Yet these are all being labeled and, you know, ignored because they have an agenda, folks, and that's to get this jab out. And I think it's a depopulation plan. And then several months later, lo and behold, replaces Stephen Hahn as the commissioner of the FDA. This all coming together now, folks? You see what's happening? Well, I could go on and on about this, but I think I've made the point, or at least I hope I did. There's a lot of liars in these positions. And you know what Jesus said. If you're a liar, you're the spawn of Satan. I didn't say it, he did. But now it's time to move on to the Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, right, BLM, police report, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means salt, boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb, kabuki meaning to slant or display. Folks, it's all right.
So, let's get on with this now here. Shut that off. Off, you off? Okay. I had fun making those, folks. And by the way, the first one, the coronavirus heist, that thing has had so many views on Twitter. It's still being viewed on Twitter. And I have it over on a Brighteon account. That's where I posted it. Most of the exposure has been over at Twitter. Even in the midst of all this, it still doesn't get me shut down. I don't understand that. But anyways, just so people wake up. So get this. This week, this bombshell report, the CDC counts those who die within 14 days of a COVID jab as unvaccinated. But get this, it's going to get worse, folks. After 6 weeks, studies showing that the efficacy of the poison weakens. So now they're starting to call for boosters. And get this, the boosters are going to be the original Wuhan variant, yet most of this they claim is the Delta variant. So what you have is this cascading out-of-control effect where these jabs are going to lose efficacy and deaths are going to ensue from the cytokine storm and all the other side effects that we've covered on so many of the shows. Yet only those who have had their booster will be classified as vaccinated. So all the two-jab heroes of the past several months die from a side effect of this, an adverse reaction. Their death will be classified as the death of an unvaxxed individual. I'm telling you, folks, we are literally living in the twilight zone where the lines between the scamdemic and the Kabuki Theater, they're blurring. I remember this line from a song, "Help, I'm stepping into the twilight zone. This place is a madhouse. It feels like I'm being cloned." And doesn't it sometimes? And get this. So Trump, the populist, he's starting to lose his base, at least on one issue. And that's this this push that Trump has had. And we've played clips on the past when he's been on Fox where he's encouraging everybody to get the jab. So last Saturday night, August 21st, in Coleman, Alabama, Trump gets booed while he talks about the vaxxers. Now, when's the last time you saw this happen? When's the last time you heard Trump get heckled? Well, it's happening, folks. It's happening. I'm looking for it right now. Heckle. See if I can find. Here it is. Trump heckled in Alabama over the vax. It's a short clip, 24 seconds. Listen to this.
I do. You got to do what you have to do. But I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right.
We're heckling.
You got your freedoms, but I happen to take the vaccine. If it doesn't work, you'll be the first to know, okay? I'll call up Alabama and say, hey, you know what? but it is working.
What do you mean by that? It's working. So what was so offensive there? Well, he's telling the crowd that the vaccines are good and the people should take them. But remember, this is the same man that woke up hundreds of millions of Americans and people all over the world, and he now expects them to not look into things, not to investigate, not to do their own research. But that lie, it just didn't sell in Alabama any more than it sold in his rallies in Ohio and Georgia or anywhere else. Trump's getting booed over this vaccine position. So there you have it. The crowd reacted with a string of boos, and then Trump responds, "Ah, nah, that's okay. It's all right. You've got your freedoms." Mr. Trump, hear this and hear it well. These jabs, they're not working. And that's because of this thing known as the leaky vaccine. Now, we've covered this danger months ago here on SDG, and the first scientist to warn us about this catastrophic consequence, the launching of this mass vaccination program and the dangers that all this will ensue and create, was the Dr. Geert van den Bosch from Belgium. And what he did is he gave a very impassioned open letter, and I'm looking for it here as we speak, urgent call to the UN, or to the World Health Organization, that's what it is. Here is this expert on epidemiology, vaccine development, and he's warning the World Health Organization it's time to switch gears. It's about a two-minute clip, and he's warning what's going to happen if you do a mass vaccination program during a scamdemic.
Dear colleagues at the WHO, my name is Geert van den Bosch. My background is veterinary medicine. I'm a certified expert in microbiology and infectious diseases. I have a PhD in virology, and I have a long-standing career in human vaccinology. I'm urging you to immediately open the scientific debate on how human interventions in the COVID-19 pandemic are currently driving viral immune escape. I'm urging you to invite me for a scientific hearing open to the public and to scientists all over the world on this very topic. Ignoring or denying the impact of stringent infection prevention measures combined with mass vaccination using prophylactic vaccines is a colossal blunder. Please do listen to my cry of distress, and let's first and foremost deliberate on a scientifically justified strategy to mitigate the tsunami of morbidity and lethality that is now threatening us. And let's meanwhile devise a strategy to eradicate the steadily emerging highly infectious variants. On behalf of humanity, I sincerely thank you for considering my call.
So there you had it. Dr. Geert van den Bosch outlined everything that we see happening right now, yet the establishment turned a blind eye. And he's not the only one out there. There are so many other experts out there warning that we're headed on this road to destruction. You know, it really looks like Deagle's 2025 population agenda or population report for the United States may come true, yet it's gone now. You can't even find it on the Internet. I have it archived. It's still in the Wayback Machine. At least it was last time I checked. So Trump had this opportunity to come clean before a national audience and tell his base and tell the world what a big, horrible mistake the jab and Operation Warp Speed was. Thousands are getting sick, hospitalizations and dying. Now the manipulation of what a vaxxed and unvaxxed person truly is and the misappropriation of numbers. So we really don't even know how many are dying from this experimental DNA jab. I don't even want to call it therapy because therapy implies something good, folks. Yet what did Trump do? Instead, he wasted time up there on the stage, spinning establishment lies about the vaccine, retelling old stories from old speeches. You know, yeah, he had some accomplishments in office, but this regime now has reversed most of those. And a lot of the stuff that he was talking about is outdated. And he avoided any direct reference to the issues we face today. Number one is this medical tyranny. Number two is the stolen election. And then what did the opener, Mo Brooks, the Republican from Alabama, do? Well, he's for Trump, okay? And he told people that we should stop looking back at 2020 and look ahead to 2022. You know, this is BS, folks. And the crowd had to correct him on that. They booed him and they chanted, fix it now. So this situation we're in, I'm really starting to think that Trump has controlled opposition. I mean, we have so much going on right now that looks like we're marching lockstep into a fascist established state. It's going to be very similar to what the Nazis did. And when you look at all the different relationships between some of the people in power today, from Angela Merkel to Fauci and his wife to, you know, George Soros and all these people of tech companies, they all have Nazi connections. Well, Shazam, where you at, Gomer, when I need you? So, like I said, and I'm going to repeat myself again, I've supported Trump, but it's looking more and more like he's nothing but a controlled opposition. But America's not buying Trump's kabuki theater anymore. I'm not. He needs to get honest with the American public, totally honest, and quit playing games with the bank, quit playing games with the big pharma, and be honest. And I don't think he is. I'm warning you, folks, COVID mandates and these passports, they're coming soon. Where's Trump's hand on those issues? I don't hear anything from him on that. And it's disturbing. It really is. You know, at this moment, this corrupt government's allowing businesses to illegally mandate these. They're not even vaccines by the definition of a vaccine from even a year or two ago. It's a fascist way of forcing an agenda. And, you know, fascism is big business and government in bed together. That's essentially what fascism is. What we need today, folks, is a much better leader. These are the end times. These are the dark days, and we need it now. Trump's not the man we need right now. And he's questionable on these grounds that I've laid out here. And by the way, he is getting up there in years. Now, he did fight for the people. He did do a lot of good things. I'm not taking that away from him, but you have to wonder why. Yet there are people out there like Dave from the X-22 report. He is a diehard Trumper. He has this little rant he did on episode 2559 about President Trump and the vax. It's about 2 minutes long. I'd like you to hear this.
And now people are seeing this. Now, what's very interesting about all of this, Trump was giving a speech out in Alabama, and he mentioned the vaccine. Take a listen to what he said.
As I do, you got to do what you have to do. But I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right. You got your freedoms. But I happen to take the vaccine. If it doesn't work, you'll be the first to know, okay? I'll call up Alabama and say, hey, you know what? But it is working.
Now, after he said, you know, I've taken the vaccine, I recommend it, it's not going to kill you, but you have your freedoms. If you noticed, he purposely said that. Now, if everyone's expecting Trump to tell you exactly what to do, well, you're going to be sitting there for a very long time. Because why would you want someone to tell you what to do? You see, what he's telling you is you have the freedom to choose. But once again, when he said, oh, I think it's working, is he actually talking about the vaccine? Or is he talking about the narrative? Is he talking about the plan? About destroying the pharmaceutical companies? About waking up the people? That's the difference. Actually, if we go back in time, he told us that there were certain individuals, and when he was giving the speech, he was talking about the pharmaceutical industry, that he needed to go away for a while because certain things were about to happen. Take a listen to what he said.
So I have a lot of enemies out there. This may be the last time you'll see me for a while. A lot of very, very rich enemies, but they are not happy with what I'm doing. But I figure we have one chance to do it, and no other president's going to do what I do.
So I do believe that this was all set up. Remember, the movement doesn't come from him. It comes from we, the people.
Now, on that point, Dave is right. It's all about we, the people, not Trump. Now, this clip almost made it into the Hopium Report, but don't worry because there's more from where this came from. Just stay tuned, and you'll hear more from Dave from the X-22 Report and our Hopium Report. But I'm telling you, folks, these are dire, dark, and very uncertain times. These are the end times, and the Antichrist is coming. Now, many of his small minion have already arrived. The Antichrist is coming, and that's why we need to get back to the basics of survival. You know, before long, we're going to probably see a bloody conflict here on our land, our shores. I don't know if it's going to be a civil war, whether it's going to be a global war, maybe both. But that's what we have in the future, along with all these draconian measures. It's a sick situation we're in. That's why I'm saying we need to be prepared. And that's why we do our newest segment known as Coop Talk with Henrietta, because let's face it, we all need to become more self-sufficient. Now, they're calling preppers in the fake news squirrels, and you have to wonder why. Hey, Henrietta, where are you? I'm trying to fill this time here, and I don't see you anywhere. Where's Henrietta? Henrietta, are you here? I don't see you. Come on, Henrietta. There she is. She was hiding. She was hiding from one of Terry's poodles. So anyways, what I want to do today is stress one thing, and just one thing alone, stocking up before it's too late. Now, if you haven't heard about all the food shortages that are coming, the distribution delays, how about that trucker strike in Australia? Now, it's very simple to do, regardless of where you live, what your monies may be or your resources. If you're shopping, get your 4 or 5 extra of each staple long-term storage item. Every time you go to the grocery store, just throw a few more in your cart. Canned chicken, tuna, vegetables, fruits, canned tomato sauces, although tomato pastes give you more bang for the shelf space, so you can pack more material in the same area if you just buy the paste and then make your own sauce from it. And then dried goods like beans and pasta and rice. And don't forget your coffee and tea if you need caffeine. Make sure you have that. Now store the dry goods in a cool, dark place. You can get plastic totes or 3 to 5 gallon food grade buckets. You know, you can get those at some of the delis and the bake shops in store. They'll save those for you. And make sure you store your canned goods, too, in a cool, dark place, in some closet that way. And remember this principle, FIFO, F-I-F-O, first in, first out. In other words, always rotate your stock, and that's very important to do, okay? And if you do this and you stay ahead of the curve on this, you're going to be okay, folks. The most important thing we need to do is to trust the Lord. Oh, and by the way, just to pray for, Terry got her 3-year update from her surgeon that she never needed to use. The shout out to Dr. Medich. He's one of the top surgeons in the UPMC system. And he declared Terry's disease-free after 3 years. Praise the Lord. And folks, I have an old message out there from 2018, testimony of Terry's supernatural healing. But she was diagnosed with late stage three colorectal cancer in January of 2018. And she went on a radical vegan holistic diet. And within the first 3 weeks, the symptoms went away. The tumor shrunk 50%. And by October that year, the MRI and the scope by the surgeon confirmed no evidence of disease. So Terry's now in year 3 of being cancer-free without surgery. Praise the Lord. That is a miracle, folks. And it humbles me, but I'm getting off point. So if you want the whole story, go to the episode from October of 2018. And now it's time to move on to the Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Now, I like Dave over at the X22 Report. I really do. He has some very good news. Some of the information I share on here with you comes from the X22 Report. So I try to always listen to Dave. I don't get him every day, but I do listen. But I'll tell you, folks, you talk about hopium. Dave still thinks this is the plan. Dave still thinks that Trump is in control. And God bless you, Dave, but what world are you living in, you know? So what I'd like to do is play about a minute and 40-second clip from episode 2558, and I labeled it Trump, the Art of War. And this is just Dave going on about how this is all a plan, and the people have to see what that is. You know, he's trying to compare President Trump to Andrew Jackson in his election in 1820. But listen to this.
As we move towards this major operation, because really that's what it is. It's a major operation conducted by the military to take back control of the United States, to give the country back to we the people and expose the deep state, expose the corrupt politicians, expose the fake media, expose big tech to everyone. Remember, from the beginning, Trump set all the pieces in motion. He set everything up during his presidency, which he's still president. He's still commander-in-chief. This is his operation with the military, and they set it all up to take down the entire corrupt system. Remember, that's what this is all about. It's about bringing down the entire corrupt system. And the only way to do this was to play on a completely different battlefield. This wasn't a regular war with missiles, tanks, airplanes. This was irregular warfare, information warfare. And they had to use different tactics. They had to show the people exactly what they've done, how they cheated, how they're corrupt, how they're treasonous, how they committed crimes against humanity. They needed to trap them in everything that they were doing, making it seem like they had the upper hand, the art of war.
So there you have it, Dave's Devon, what's going on. Now, he's claiming that this is all a military plan that was implemented by the acting Secretary of Defense, Chris Miller, there at the end of the Trump administration, and it's called devolution. You can read about it online. But quite frankly, folks, I don't buy it. So let's keep moving. I just wanted to share a little hopium with you out there, but now it's time for the Absurdian Report. And it's not coming up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdian Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
So, I want to share something with you from our imposter-in-chief's left-hand woman, none other than Heels in the Air Harris. But before I do, I want to talk about this piece from the Washington Post. It's hilarious. You're not going to believe it. It's sad. It's tragic. It involves a death. It's actually, it's an article built around the obituary of an 84-year-old man from Florida, named Clark Allen, This was a man with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, very accident prone. Maybe he was having a bunch of mini strokes, don't know, but he had a terrible driving record. Now, his children, they joked that nothing could kill this man. Yet there, right before he died, he was on oxygen in the ER in Florida, and he died. Now, in the obituary, remember, this man had a severe comorbidity, and people diagnosed with that pulmonary disorder don't live past 5 years from diagnosis. And he was into his seventh year, I believe it was. Plus, he was accident-prone, had many automobile accidents, and he died on July 22nd. And his cause of death on the death certificate was the coronavirus. Now, his two daughters, Danielle and Nicole, they were horrified by this. And here's what they wrote in his obituary, and I'm going to read this. He was infected by someone who chose not to get vaccinated, and his death was preventable. Now, this was an 84-year-old man who had chronic pulmonary obstruction. That's a death sentence, folks. That's a death sentence. Yet his death was preventable. And then the obituary goes on to read, it was the wish of his family that everyone vaccinated in order to prevent further death, sickness, and heartbreak. It's as if you take this this vaccine and you have an immunity cloak and you no longer die. You no longer get sick. You're immune to accidents. You see the absurdity here? Now, it even gets crazier. I think it was Danielle in this interview with the Washington Post. She acknowledges that her dad was already fighting from this terminal illness, but the terminal illness wouldn't have killed him. It was the fact that other people didn't get vaccinated, and that's the reason her dad died. Not because he had some terminal illness involving his lungs. No, it was because other people didn't get vaccinated. And then she finishes this interview with the Washington Post and says, he could have seen his family again. He needn't die this way. Folks, that's just plain dumb. And that thinking, as I like to call it. And you want to hear something even dumber? Or maybe we can call it the dumbest. Did you hear Heels in the Air Harris? She was out this week claiming that 220 million Americans died over the last several months. You got to hear this. You won't believe it.
We're looking at over 220 million Americans who just in the last several months died.
Really?
Yeah, Alvin, really. She said that. 220 million Americans died over the last several months. Folks, you would have bodies in the street piled three high if 220 million Americans died. Only 330 million Americans in the entire country. Maybe she's hanging around with Sleepy Joe too much. And they want us to trust them because the numbers on our retirement benefits and our Medicare and Medicaid. And they slipped three decimal places on the actual deaths. And then get this. There's a little satanic dark side to this next absurdian news piece. Indian drug maker seeking green light for three-dose COVID-19 vaccine touted as world's first plasmin DNA vaccine. This was out of the Russia Times World News. It was published earlier this week. This pharmaceutical giant from India, Zydus Cadila, conducted India's largest COVID-19 vaccine trial to date. And in their effectiveness portion of the report, get this, okay, they called this vaccine 66.6% effective in preventing symptomatic COVID positive cases in its interim analysis. Folks, I can't make this stuff up. I really can't. So why wasn't it 66.5 or 6.7? Or even rounded up to 67? Why did they have to use 66.6%. Why? Paul, I thought you'd be outraged over this, but you're not. You're just sitting there with this sad look on your face. What's going on with you, Paul? Can I get a what from you, Paul? Can I get a what? There you go. Okay, that's better. Paul, it just happened to be 66.6. It just happened to be that. I can't help it. That's just the way numbers fall. You know, it's the science. You know, when somebody asked the, I forget the official, but it was somebody in the economic development group in Washington, why the big box stores could stay open, but all the small businesses had to close. You know what he called it? He called it the science.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, exactly. You know what it's called? Vulture capitalism. That's what it's called. If you haven't seen what this is all about yet, folks, I don't know if you're ever going to see. And like Jesus said, prince of this world, he's a liar, and so are his spawn. These literally are the spawn of Satan. And I think it was St. Paul who said in the letter to the Corinthians that the prince of this world, who's Satan, Lucifer, has blinded the eyes and ears of those who can't see and hear. And that's the sad thing about where we're at. But I have to keep moving. And right now, folks, it's time for Ken's Corner.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
So I've been catching myself telling people a lot likely that it's like we're living in the Twilight Zone. And this week I hear this song titled The Twilight Zone. It's an old one from the 80s by a group called Golden Earring. And I've never heard it before, but I heard it for the first time. And what I'd like to do is play a little bit out of it for you. It's rock music. It's not my genre, but listen to these words from The Twilight Zone by Golden Earring. It's about 2 minutes.
So there you have it, this song, The Twilight Zone by Golden Earring. And a couple of those lines in there, the place is a madhouse, sure is. Feels like I'm stepping into the Twilight Zone. Feels like I'm being cloned. Soon you will come to know when the bullet hits the bone. Folks, did you hear about that Army recruit? Or that Army volunteer, I guess we don't recruit, we volunteer, But nonetheless, she sat there on TikTok, I think it was, and said that she would shoot Americans. Maybe I'll play that clip for you next week. But you'll soon come to know when the bullet hits the bone, folks, that what we're talking about is real here. So then just after hearing this clip, I'm talking like moments after, okay? I hear this clip on Twitter from Aaron Ginn. Fauci denies meaningful difference between the types of masks, you know, N95, cloth mask, those scarves that people were wearing after all that hype, you know, with the airlines and having the appropriate masking, and then we got into double, triple masking. Listen to Fauci here. Right after I heard this song, I'm talking minutes after hearing it, listen to this clip on Fauci and no difference in masking.
We debated the CDC's changing guidance on masks over the last 18 months. What is your view, Dr. Fauci, right now on masks in light of the Delta variant? Are surgical masks good enough, or should everyone be wearing now N95s, KN95s in indoor venues?
You know, Mady, instead of worrying about what kind of mask, just wear a mask. Wear a mask. You know, wear a surgical mask, a cloth mask.
What?
Some people can't tolerate N95s. Rather than saying one versus the other, we
this
need to
controlled.
Wear masks. And the Delta variant has changed the playing field. It absolutely has. It has an extraordinary capability of spreading from person to person. And that's why the CDC is saying, even if you're fully vaccinated, if you're in an indoor situation in an area of the country, which essentially is the whole country with very few exceptions, then you should be wearing a mask when you're in an indoor situation with other people, not in your home, in a public situation indoor, because we're seeing breakthrough infections. You can get infected and have no symptoms at all, and then inadvertently and innocently pass it on to someone else who is not vaccinated or is incapable of getting vaccinated. That's the reason for the CDC recommendation about masks.
So there you have it. You know, this place is a madhouse. We have stepped into the Twilight Zone, and I'm warning you folks, you will soon come to know when the bullet hits the bone that these people are playing for keeps. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They have a globalistic agenda which involves depopulation and the haves and the have-nots. Not for equity, not for fairness between the labor and capital groups in our world, and that's always been the case. No, it's all about a new feudal system, a slavery system. It's coming, but now we have to move on to Back to the Future. Folks, it's time for Back to the Future, where we take something from the past, something old, and bring it back to the future, and then apply it to today's freaky deaky news headlines. So let's wind the clock back to 1933. There was a man named Joost Mierlo, a doctor. He began to study the ways that totalitarian regimes, governments, use systematic mental pressure to force people into abject submission. Now, that's the most degrading form of treatment that anyone can foist upon another. Plus, he looked at the mental pressure that was being used by these states, totalitarian states, to implement their lies on the minds of their victims. And he published it all in this book titled The Rape of the Mind. Now, he goes far beyond just direct military implications for this. This mental torture described in the book actually shows how cultures can show or display the symptoms of pressurized agendas, you know, put the whole society in a pressure cooker. So he presents a systematic analysis of the methods of brainwashing, or what he called menticide, okay, mental torture and coercion of the masses. It's a totalitarian strategy, okay, a mass psychology that leads to the, as, and these are his words, the systemized rape of the mind. Now, I learned about Dr. Mierlo back when I was working for Bill Cooper on the Hour of the Time, and I was shocked. So this is back in the 90s, and then I started to see it. First, I think the first big one I think I saw, and I could look at it in retrospect with the Oklahoma City bombing, but when 9/11 happened, Mierlo's methods were being used. Actually, they weren't his methods. They were just the methods that he articulated. So The Rape of the Mind was written for people like you and me to read. It wasn't written for experts or scientists. And it had about four parts in it. In part one, it talks about the techniques of individual submission. And in part two, he talks about the techniques for mass submission. In part three, he talks about what he refers to as unobtrusive coercion. And then in part four, he talks about defenses against this. So you can train against mental torture, and we may have to do that if these extermination camps are actually activated. Then he talks about education for discipline and higher morale. And folks, bottom line, stay grounded in the Word of God, and I think you have all of the defense you need. So I strongly recommend this book, The Rape of the Mind. I have a PDF copy. If you'd like it, you can email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll get a copy out to you. And I first read this book that was published in 1956. Like I said, back in the late, I'd say the late 90s. And these tactics are exactly what's being used right now. And that word that stuck with me all these years was mentality, you know. And then I see these active and passive methods being used on our society right now. And remember, he actually was involved with the Dutch military. I think he was a Dutch psychiatrist. And, you know, the Dutch were overrun by the Nazis and so fled. He was in exile. He eventually ended up in the United States, and I think he taught at Columbia. I'm telling you, this book is worth reading. Now, some of it's outdated. Of course it is. But the section on technology and the means of mass indoctrination, part two, and the means of manipulation, they're even truer today than they were back then. You know, back then all there was television and radio. So he never imagined how streaming TV and the Internet would be infused with things that have been learned in the past 50 years in neuroscience and how to make these things addictive. And then let's not even get going on social media, tailored to appeal to various groups. You know, Mirlo, he had a lot of personal interaction with these victims. So he has some deep insight he shares there, and it's interesting to see his perspective. So many people can believe these lies about whatever this deep state is trying to foist upon the people, and in this case today it's this scamdemic. You know, how can the masses believe this? In spite of all the evidence that's out there, all you have to do is look. So this book gives really good food for thought on what's going on right now, and I recommend you get it. Now, this week, Sister Kathy sends me this clip, and it's very good. It's from the Institute of Learning or something. I didn't write down the name, but I just have a little clip, an intro clip. It's about 6 minutes long, but this is a 20-minute teaching on mass psychosis. So this is fairly new. It's been out for a while, but it's one of those ones where the illustrator kind of goes along as the narrator speaks, but just listen to this.
The masses have never thirsted after truth. They turn aside from evidence that is not to their taste, preferring to deify error if error seduce them. Whoever can supply them with illusions is easily their master. Whoever attempts to destroy their illusions is always their victim. According to the psychologist Carl Jung, the greatest threat to civilization lies not with the forces of nature, nor with any physical disease, but with our inability to deal with the forces of our own psyche. We are our own worst enemies, or as the Latin proverb puts it, man is a wolf to man. In Civilization in Transition, Jung states that this proverb is a sad yet eternal truism. And our wolf-like tendencies come most prominently into play at those times of history when mental illness becomes the norm rather than the exception in a society, a situation which Jung termed a psychic epidemic. Indeed, it is becoming ever more obvious, he writes, that it is not famine, not earthquakes, not microbes, not cancer, but man himself, who is man's greatest danger to man. For the simple reason that there is no adequate protection against psychic epidemics, which are infinitely more devastating than the worst of natural catastrophes. In this video, we are going to explore the most dangerous of all psychic epidemics, the mass psychosis. A mass psychosis is an epidemic of madness, And it occurs when a large portion of a society loses touch with reality and descends into delusions. Such a phenomenon is not a thing of fiction. Two examples of mass psychoses are the American and European witch hunts of the 16th and 17th centuries, and the rise of totalitarianism in the 20th century. During the witch hunts, thousands of individuals, mostly women, were killed, not for any crimes they committed, but because they became the scapegoats of societies gone mad. In some Swiss villages, writes Francis Hill, there were scarcely any women left alive after the frenzy had finally burned itself out. When a mass psychosis occurs, the results are devastating. Jung studied this phenomenon and wrote that the individuals who make up the infected society become morally and spiritually inferior. They sink unconsciously to an inferior intellectual level. They become more unreasonable, irresponsible, emotional, erratic, and unreliable. And worst of all, crimes the individual alone could never stand are freely committed by the group smitten by madness. What makes matters worse is that those suffering from a mass psychosis are unaware of what is occurring. For just as an individual gone mad cannot step out of his mind to observe the errors in his ways, so too there is no Archimedean point from which those living through a mass psychosis can observe their collective madness. But what causes a mass psychosis? To answer this question, we must first explore what drives an individual mad. While there are many potential triggers of madness, such as an excessive use of drugs or alcohol, brain injuries, and other illnesses, these physical causes will not concern us here. Our concern is with psychological, or what are called psychogenic triggers, as these are the most common culprits of the mass psychosis. The most prevalent psychogenic cause of a psychosis is a flood of negative emotions, such as fear or anxiety, that drives an individual into a state of panic. When in a state of panic, an individual will naturally seek relief, as it is too mentally and physically draining to subsist in this hyper-emotional state. While escaping from the state of panic can be accomplished through adaptive means, such as facing up to and defeating the fear-generating threat, another way to escape is to undergo a psychotic break. A psychotic break is not a descent into a state of greater disorder, as many believe, but a reordering of one's experiential world, which blends fact and fiction, or delusions and reality, in a way that helps end the feelings of panic. Silvano Arrieti, one of the 20th century's foremost authorities on schizophrenia, explains the psychogenic steps that lead to madness. Firstly, there is the phase of panic, when the patient starts to perceive things in a different way, is frightened on account of it, appears confused, and does not know how to explain the strange things that are happening. The next step is what Arrieti calls a phase of psychotic insight, whereby an individual succeeds in putting things together by devising a pathological way of seeing reality, which allows him to explain his abnormal experiences. The phenomenon is called insight because the patient finally sees meaning and relations in his experiences. But the insight is psychotic because it is based on delusions, not on adaptive and life-promoting ways of relating to whatever threats precipitated the panic. The delusions, in other words, allow the panic-stricken individual to escape from the flood of negative emotions, but at the cost of losing touch with reality. And for this reason, Arrieti says that a psychotic break can be viewed as an abnormal way of dealing with an extreme state of anxiety. If a panic-triggering flood of negative emotions in a weak and vulnerable individual can trigger a psychotic break, then a mass psychosis can result when a population of weak and vulnerable individuals is driven into a state of panic by threats real, imagined, or fabricated. But
so there you have it. That's a portion out of the 20-minute clip. I'm telling you, folks, we're well on our way to this mass psychosis event, and it's going to be all over this vaxxed versus the unvaxxed. You heard about those two Florida women who are blaming the death of their respiratory compromised father, Mr. Allen. I think he was 84 years old, yet he died because other people didn't get vaccinated. He didn't die because he was 7 years into a chronic, life-threatening, life-ending event known as pulmonary blockage. No, that's not what killed him. He died because other people didn't get vaccinated. Do you see how this starts? We're well on our way to this, what do you call it, psychogenic, I think, yeah. We're on the psychogenic path to madness. I'm warning you, folks, and you'll know when the bullet hits the bone. So let's look at just one example in the news from this past week of how the establishment uses these methods against the people. Okay, so here's a clip from CNN with the fraud Fauci. So King Fauci on Monday night told Anderson Cooper, and I love how these news readers, they have that very serious look while they're listening to these people, you know. Anyway, Anderson Cooper's sitting there, and he's listening to the fraud Fauci tell us that if the majority of Americans would only get vaccinated, COVID would be under control by the spring of 2022. Didn't we hear all this before? Just 15 days. How long were they shut down? How long were people shut down? Now, we never shut down at our plant. We just never did. They would have had to come in there and actually chain our doors and take us away in handcuffs before we'd shut down. But listen to this.
So, Dr. Fauci, I want to get to the FDA approval in a moment. First, I do want to ask you something about that you said to NPR today. You said if the majority of Americans get vaccinated, quote, we could start to really get some good control over this as we get back into the fall of 2022, a year from now. Is that the best case scenario? And what does control look like?
No. Anderson, I have to apologize. When I listened to the tape, I meant to say the spring of 2022. So I did misspeak. And in the conversation with Mary Louise Kelly, she was saying, when do I think we're going to start to get some control? I said, if we can get through this winter and get really the majority, overwhelming majority of the 90 million people who have not been vaccinated, I hope we could start to get some good control in the spring of 2022. I didn't mean the fall. I misspoke. My bad.
Okay. What does control, what does that mean, or what does that look like to you?
Well, to me, that means that you have either the overwhelming majority of the population vaccinated. Those who have been infected will have, and have cleared the virus, will have a degree of protection, and we are recommending that those people also get vaccinated, because the degree of protection that you could induce in someone who's been infected, who has then recovered and then vaccinated, is an enormous increase in the degree of protection. If we could do that with the people who have been infected, get them revaccinated, the people who are unvaccinated now, that 90 million people, get them vaccinated, I think we can get a degree of overall blanket protection of the community that as we get into the early part of 2022, getting through the winter, which could be complicated by influenza, by respiratory syncytial virus, that as we get into the spring, we could start getting back to a degree of normality, namely reassuming the things that we were hoping we could do, restaurants, theaters, that kind of thing. But again, there's a big caveat there, Anderson. This is a very wily virus. We thought we were going to have that degree of freedom as we got into the 4th of July and the summer. And then along comes the soccer punch with the Delta variant, which is extraordinary in its capability of spreading from person to person. So we hope we'll be there at the time frame that I mentioned correctly being the spring of 2022. But there's no guarantee, because it's up to us. If we keep lingering without getting those people vaccinated that should be vaccinated, this thing could linger on, leading to the development of another variant which could complicate things. So it's within our power to get this under control.
And what percent?
So you see there, he calls the virus wily with an extraordinary ability to spread. He doesn't tell you that the symptoms are diminished. He doesn't tell you that. And then he pushes the vaccine. Yet didn't we hear Dr. Geert Vandenbosch earlier in the show? The replay we did from back in April, when he warned that if you mass vaccinate during a scamdemic, you end up with a slew of variants that come out because you've compromised the autoimmune system of the vaccinated. And then remember, we covered the fact that the 2010 document from the Rockefeller Foundation talks about how they can use a pandemic to force a new agenda. And what's the new agenda has nothing to do with public health. It has everything to do with money. You know, we're in the same situation they were in Depression, yet they don't want to blame it on the banking system again, or everybody would lose trust or faith in the paper money system. So what do? Well, they planned on bringing Hillary Clinton in 2016 and have a war with Russia, but it didn't work. So now they had to roll out this scam. You know, in August 2019, they agreed at Davos in Switzerland, the economic summit, on their going direct reset, or the Great Reset, as we call it now. Then in November 2019, they had their event 201 at Johns Hopkins, and they prepared for the scamdemic, and then they launched it in the spring of 2020. And then we lost our vote in the fall of 2020. But you can still vote with your money, folks. So choose where you spend it. These people are all spawn of Satan, I'm telling you. They're liars. And Jesus said that they are of their father, the devil, also known as Satan, also known as Lucifer. So, folks, are you getting the picture yet? Are you seeing what this is all about? It's not about keeping you and me safe. It's not. It's a plan. It's a globalistic plan to usher in the Antichrist. Now, do you see why I asked you in the beginning of the show whether you'll be a name or a number? You know, those are our choices, folks. You know, Jesus will give you and me a name, but the Antichrist, he's going to give us a number. So which are you going to be, a name or a number? I'm telling you, tough times are ahead, and you're going to feel it when the bullet hits the bone. These are the last days, yet we can be confident if we choose to live or abide in Jesus Christ. So last week we looked at what time it is, and these are the end times. And then we looked at the tyrant and his minion, also known as Satan. And we heard Pastor Russ Dizdar warn us about the Black Awakening as his minion will be unleashed upon the Christians and those who are good. But then we have our triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where we have to hold on to, folks. That's what we need to anchor in. And this all came out of that real rich passage of Scripture out of John's first letter, Chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. And I'm not going to read it, but I recommend you read that when we wrap this up. Now, the Antichrist, he's like most criminals. He has a lot of aliases, but he only has one heart and one mind. And he wants obvious, open, and overt worship. Now, there's a few things about the devil, also known as the Antichrist, the son of perdition. And I want to share them with you, and I use the letter D to describe each of them so you can remember. First of all, he's devilish. He is the devil incarnate. He's Satan himself, you know. He's going to be, the Antichrist is going to be incarnated by the literal spirit of Lucifer himself, and he's divisive. You know, St. John wrote in chapter 19 of, verse 19 of chapter 2 of the first, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest. They were not all of us. So these are these spawn of Satan, these liars you see on TV, these people pushing this false narrative, these people driving this mass psychosis. Now, in John's day, there was a division in the church, and some people who started in the church left. They went out. And the us in this passage refers to the true church. But there was this splinter movement, this breakaway, okay? And John says the power behind that division was of the Antichrist. And you still see that today. You know, he's the prince of the power of the air. And St. John says the power of the Antichrist is already in the world right now. All the way back from John's day to the present, preparing, laying the groundwork for the revelation, not of Jesus Christ, but of the son of perdition, you know, the Antichrist, who's going to sit on the throne of the New World Order and going to move and manipulate all of us through this control system, this smart grid. That's what it's all about. Now, the truth is that the Antichrist, the power behind all the false cults of the world, he's the power behind this ascension movement that I've been warning you about. All the false cults have the Antichrist stamp on them. Maybe it's sugar-coated, maybe it looks real pretty, but they broken away from the one true church, and they've come out with the spirit of Antichrist. And they're preaching a false gospel like this corny ascension nonsense. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. For men shall depart from the faith, giving way to seducing spirits. And this whole awakening movement, this ascension movement, it's a devilish spirit. It's a divisive spirit. And it's also deceptive. The Bible says the devil would deceive the very elect if it were possible. And haven't we seen that today? Haven't you seen that in these news updates that I share with you? I am going to read this passage from chapter 2, verses 20 through 23 of the first epistle. And it says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. For I have written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth the Lord Jesus Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that has acknowledged the Son has the Father also. So that one, the one thing he said out of verse 23, but ye have unction. So John right there is telling us that those who gone away, those who stood away, they're not true believers. They don't have the unction. And he's warning you and me that the Antichrist is devilish, he's divisive, he's deceptive. And the focal point of his deception is over the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? He's not some Christ spirit that's inhabited everybody from Moses to Muhammad and everybody in between, including these swamis today. No, that's not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a lie from Satan. Now, the devil doesn't actually care what you believe. So you can believe a lot of things that are good and right. You can actually be out there doing a lot of good things. But if you're doing the right thing for the wrong reason, it's the worst kind of treason. And the thing that makes something wrong is if you don't get Jesus right. And that's the key. He is the Son of God and he is God the Son. He's every bit as much God as God the Father is and every bit as much God as God the Holy Spirit is. But he's Jesus. He's not God the Father. He's not the Holy Spirit. But there is only one God. And that's the mystery of the Trinity, folks. And that's who Jesus is. But the devil doesn't want you to know that. And I guess the bottom line here, and the point I'm trying to make, is that everything that's spiritual isn't holy. It isn't. C.S. Lewis said that you don't have a soul. You are a soul. And the Bible says, believe not every spirit. And I'm telling you, folks, the key or the litmus test is who they say Jesus is. Jesus asked Peter that, who do you say that I am? So bottom line, believe not every spirit. Test the spirit, whether it be of God. He wrote in 2 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. So key here, folks. Now, notice verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So if a person is wrong about Jesus, they're dead wrong, folks, bottom line. And these ascension preachers in the New Age and freedom movement, I'm telling you, they're dead wrong. I love some of them. Some of them are my friends, but they are wrong. What are they wrong on? What doctrine of theirs is wrong? Their doctrine of Christ is wrong. And the Bible says in verses 10 and 11 of this passage, receive not him into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So never forget that the Antichrist is devilish, he's decisive, he's deceptive. And here's the scary thing, and you'll know it when the bullet hits the bone. He's destructive. 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 25 read, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us. Promise, folks, even eternal life. Folks, the devil wants to destroy your soul. The devil wants to steal eternal life from you and me. He wants to destroy you and send you forever to hell. The truth is, folks, and this is the truth, that we will always have eternal existence, either in heaven or hell. And there's never going to be a time again that we won't be. Never. So the question is, will you be there in hell, or are you going to be in heaven? You know, C.S. Lewis said, and remember, I'm going to say it again, you don't have a soul, you are a soul. That's your mind, your will, and your emotion. And that goes on after your body dies, folks. The devil knows that we can't have eternal life apart from the saving faith of our crucified Lord and Savior, the ascended Son of God, God the Son, Jesus Christ. He's the only way. The only way. And he's the only ascended one. Not you, not me. Now, I'm looking forward to going to heaven, folks. And I'm looking forward to an eternity. But there's no ascension for true believers. There isn't. Now, so far, we've learned that we're in the last day and we need to be awake and that the Antichrist is coming. So we need to be aware. And this third and final truth I want to share with you before we wrap this up is our triumph in Jesus Christ. Our Lord, he's on the way. And meanwhile, we need to be abiding in him through the power and the agency of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Word. That's what we need to do. So our Lord, he's coming back for you and me. And John picks an interesting word here, and he uses it over and over again in verse 24. He uses this word abide. Let that therefore abide in you that ye have heard from the beginning. And then in verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And then in verse 28, abide in him, little children. So John is saying there's going to be this great tribulation, and we need to be aware of it as the sons and daughters of the living God. And we, since we're aware of it, we need to be abiding or living in it like a branch clings to the vine, abides in the vine. Every life essence of that vine comes from that branch and the roots that draw up the water and the nutrients. Every fruit that's borne by that branch comes from the vine and the life-giving force of that vine. And that life-giving force in the lives of believers is Jesus Christ. So we are to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And John tells us three things that we're to do in these last days as we continue to live. Okay? And here's what we're to do. We need to be at home with the Word of God. In verse 24, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. And he's talking there about the Word of God, that which ye have heard. So we're to make ourselves at home with the Word of God. It should be a part of your life. Every day. Folks, when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is put on a cup of coffee. Actually, I have it on. And then I take that with me. I open up the Bible. And I spend about an hour in the Word of God. Then I share it with others. And a lot of the things I have here come from that time when I make myself at home in the Word of God. So you need to make yourselves at home in the Word of God. And then we're to be at home with the Spirit of God. He says in verse 27, the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But that same anointing, it teaches you, and that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this is truth, and there is no lie. Even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now in this passage, the anointing is him, H-I-M. And who is him? Well, him is the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, they had ceremonies or anointings that took place with oil. And in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is symbolized by oil. So the king, the prophet, or the priest, they could take oil, and they could put some oil on a person who was to be anointed. And this anointing was a symbol or an emblem or a lesson, a visual lesson of the coming Holy Spirit, which you and I as believers can receive. So here John's picking up on that theme or that symbol. And he's saying that you and me, we have an anointing or an unction. In verse 20 of the King James, it's called an unction, and some of the modern translations don't use that. But I like to say, I want to function with unction. And the way you do that is by living in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, that same word anointing, it's translated as unction in the King James. But in most modern translations, they just call it anointing. So we have the Word of God, and we should make ourselves home in the Word of God. We also need to be abiding in the Spirit of God and making ourselves at home with the Holy Spirit. Invite him in. Don't only allow his presence, but make him president in your life, folks, okay? He's the one who teaches you and me how to understand the Word of God. Now, before I read my Bible in the morning, I say a prayer. I ask to open my eyes and help me understand it. And, you know, Christians, we have this built-in alarm system, this guidance system. And in John chapter 14, verse 26, it reads, and Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, Son, as the Comforter, shall be sent to you. And by the way, that word comforter, that doesn't mean someone who says, oh, now, poor thing, everything's going to be okay. No, that word in Greek is translated with strength. So fort, you know, fortress, it implies a fortress, by strength. Jesus tells us the one who's coming is coming to comfort us, to give us strength, to strengthen us. The Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So what John is saying there in John 14, verse 26, is that the Holy Spirit's the one that teaches you and me as believers. But wait a minute. Isn't that what I'm doing here right now in this message? Aren't I trying to teach you? Well, why would John say that no man need teach you then? Well, there's no contradiction here, folks. There isn't. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that God gave to the church pastor teachers. And in that sense, folks, I'm a pastor teacher. Now, I'm not a pastor of a church. I don't have a church. I don't pretend to be a pastor in that sense, but that's a co-joined word. So you're to be a pastor and teacher. And I teach you. I share with you what the Holy Spirit has shown me. But the real teacher and the one that's going to affirm this, the one that's going to confirm this, the one that's going to assert these things to be true isn't me. Because anything I convince you, another can convince you of otherwise. It's going to be the Holy Spirit that cements this stuff to your mind, that makes you know that this is true. So as I prepared this message today, I prayed, as I do every week before I do these things, I just prayed that the Holy Spirit of God would use me to lead you unto all truth. So yeah, God uses human teachers, and I'm one of them. The one who's really teaching you and helping you to understand is the Holy Spirit of God. Now the Bible, it's not against human teachers. In fact, they're necessary. And the Bible's not against studying. That's necessary too. It says to study to show yourself to be approved. And that's a workman who needeth not be ashamed. So the Bible implies study to work. And it is work to study, folks. You know, Warren Wiersbe, he was a very well-known Bible teacher on Christian radio for many years. He talked about a missionary to the Indians to illustrate a point. Now, this missionary had worked with the Holy Spirit, co-labored with God to win one of these Native Americans to Jesus Christ. And then he brought this guy to the big city. And this guy has never been out of the woods, and he dressed him up and brought him into all the sights and sounds of the big city. And this Indian, a true believer in Jesus Christ, didn't understand all the divisions and the denominations and the cults. Every corner had a different church with different names. He was a simple, pure-hearted, yet very intelligent Christian. So here he is going down these big streets in this big city. This man standing there. This man was preaching, okay? But he was from a cult. And the missionary knew that it was a false cult. But the Indian, he stopped and listened. And the missionary said, why are you doing that? He said, well, because it's the Word of God and I want to hear it. And the missionary thought he should have stopped him, but he got kind of a restraint in his spirit, so he let him stand there and listen to him. And as he did, he was praying. So here's this pure-hearted Indian who's listening for a while with this missionary standing beside him fervently praying. And then when it was all done, the missionary asked him, so what do you think of the teacher? And the Indian said, me no like him. Something in me said, liar, liar, liar. Well, that was the Holy Spirit in the heart and mind and soul of that man, that Native American who was converted to Jesus Christ, teaching him. The point here is that God gives me this built-in guidance system. It's the Holy Spirit. So he takes his word, he opens the Word of God, and he uses his Holy Spirit to help you and me understand. So if you make yourself at home with the Word of God, and then make yourself at home with the Spirit of God, the last thing you need to do is make yourself at home with the very Son of God, the Word made flesh, but the friend, the Lord, the person that you can go to and talk to anytime. Make yourself at home with the very Son of God. And he tells us that in 8 and 29. He says that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. That's of Jesus. So John's saying that we could be at home with the very Son of God. We should trust him and obey him. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God are going to make the Son of God real in your lives when we do that, folks. And then you're going to have confidence and a certainty. And you're not going to be in this mass psychosis. And you're going to be able to withstand it when the bullet hits the bone, if it does. And I'm not saying it will, but if it does, you'll be ready. And you won't be ashamed when Jesus comes again. You know, back during World War II, my Bible teacher, Adrian Rogers, he was just a little boy. His dad served in the United States Coast Guard down at Hope Sound, Florida. And Adrian and his mom and brother, they lived about 50 miles away. And sometimes his dad would get a furlough, and if there was gas available, what he'd do is drive his old Model A Ford back to see Adrian and the family. Now, a lot of times, when his dad would go back to the base, he'd give Adrian and his brother instructions, things they had to get done, chores to do around the house to help mom before he came home. And when he came back, he'd always check up on him. Now, when Adrian did everything he was supposed to do, Adrian loved to see his dad come home. He could hear that car before he'd see it. And there were other times he dreaded the homecoming. And it all depended upon whether or not Adrian was doing what he should have been doing. You know, was he doing what his dad told him to do when he was away at the base? So when Adrian heard that Model A Ford coming down the road, because, you know, it had that real distinctive sound. If you ever saw them at car shows, you know what I'm talking about. When he was good, he'd run out to greet his dad and jump up on the running board and ride back home with his dad. And that's the way it's going to be for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, for all those people that are abiding in him, who make the Word home parts, who invite the Holy Spirit in to make a household with them. You know, those people are going to run to greet the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to hear the sound, and they're going to go meet him, okay? And the Lord's going to come and fetch you and me up. We're going to be home with Jesus, and this is the rapture. That's the ascension of the faithful, folks. And that's the very wonderful truth. But when Adrian said there were other times that he didn't want to come, and he heard the Model A going down the road and he would hide, he didn't want to come and meet because he was afraid. So he ran and hid. And it all depended on what he was doing while his dad was away at the Coast Guard base. Was he living the way his dad wanted him to live? Was he doing the things his dad wanted him to do? Or was he out there living a reckless life as a kid, not listening to his mom, not getting any chores done? And that's exactly what St. John's saying here in this passage. So little children, abide in him, and when he shall appear, you may have confidence before him and shall not be ashamed of his coming. So which will you be, a name or a number? I'm telling you, folks, make yourself at home with the Word of God. Make yourself at home with the Spirit of God. And most importantly, make yourself at home with the Son of God. And then when he appears, you're going to have a confidence, and you won't be ashamed, nor will you be devoured by this new age lie of ascension for all humanity, the awakening, the Christ spirit, or whatever you want to call it, and you'll know the truth, and that truth will make you free. Folks, I love y'all. We have to wrap it up for this week. But in the words of Winston Churchill, as you go out there and live, you need to stand against this tyranny, folks. You need to practice civil disobedience. You need to say no more to all of this manipulation, this mass psychosis. And in the words of Winston Churchill, never give in. Never, never, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And folks, that same spirit that's going to lead you in all truth, that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, that same spirit that healed Terry of her stage 3 colorectal cancer, no evidence of disease, no scar, nothing, a beautiful, beautiful healing. That same spirit, that same power, that Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, he lives in you and me. So let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and praise the Lord.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.